Chapter 4, House Guest. Are you okay? Not going to crack up on me? He looked at me from the edge of the armchair while he peeled off my socks. His light touch tickled across my arches. I moved to free my feet, but he held them in place to finish. He had taken his shoes off at the door. How considerate, though he probably didn't want to leave any footprints for the forensics team after my murder. Even as I thought it, I knew I no longer believed he was there to harm me. I'm all right, considering, I breathed out, forcing an infinitesimal smile as proof. I can imagine this is a lot to take in at once. He looked apologetic and very cold, with his shirt clinging to him. I awkwardly sat up from the couch, making squeaking noises as I rose. He tried to stop me from getting up. Just rest for a bit, you've had quite a shock. Look, we're both freezing. I'm not going anywhere. I believe you. Well, that you knew me. I have a lot more questions, but I can't stay in these wet clothes. I'm going to go change and get us some towels. I'll be right back. Brutus followed me up the stairs and plopped onto my bed. A towel dried my hair and put it back in a tight ponytail. I changed into sweats and dug out a fresh towel for him. Not entirely surprising to me, he had made himself at home while I was gone and was making coffee. The familiar smell wafting through such an odd series of events was quite calming. Begrudgingly, I couldn't help but notice he had taken off his shirt. As he hovered over the sink, waiting for the coffee to percolate, I took him in more since I'd gained some assurance he wasn't there to kill me. His back was sculpted magnificently, hard and muscular. There was a symbol tattooed across his thick upper arm in dark blue. As I evaluated his equally impressive lower body, I noticed he had a pair of folded khakis and shirt by him on the counter. How silly of me to think he didn't have an overnight bag somewhere. I cleared my throat to announce my return, ready to proceed with the interrogation. Here, I brought you a towel. Thanks. May I put some things in the dryer? Oh, of course, I responded with the faintest touch of disbelief in my voice. He strode down the hall with his dry clothes in one hand and his wet shirt thrown over his shoulder. While he walked, he started unbuttoning his jeans. I forcibly looked away and busied myself with finding mugs, cream, and sugar. Great, I was playing hostess to a man who broke into my home. Well, you can't have your potential attacker go hungry or be cold. That would be impolite. Maybe I had a death wish. I put everything he might like on the counter, poured myself a cup, and walked back over to the couch. I was damned if I was going to ask him how he took it and pour for him. Thankfully, he was already in the khakis when I peeked into the laundry room on my way to sit. I slowed only a fraction as I took in his chest. Lethal or not, he was to die for. Then I remembered how very real that possibility had been to me. He walked back over to the kitchen while putting on his shirt. He poured a cup of coffee and walked over to what had become his chair in our melodrama. Better? He gestured to my clothes and coffee. Better. Now why did I have gems in my seat cushion? I thought I would start small and work my way up to the big picture stuff. I wasn't sure how much more I could take. You had them sewn into the cushion after you got the car. Once you got home, you were going to repair the cushion before giving the car to your mother for her birthday. I think you got them from Bounce, but I'm not sure. Who is Bounce? She's another friend. She knew you first. He took a long sip while regarding me. So the car was from my mother. There had been a big 60th birthday party planned. I wondered before how I had justified spending trust fund money that I hadn't touched otherwise. It made sense I would have done it for her. A luxury car purchase for myself had always appeared extravagant to me. What kind of jewels are they? I looked over at the bag on the table, fighting the desire to pick them up and hold them again. They're rubies. Not very valuable because of their color, but the clarity is good. Probably worth about 500 a carat based on their size. How many carats are they? Oh, I measure about 50 apiece. You're saying each stone is worth $25,000? Well, yeah, but that's not much compared to what you've been around. He looked like he was enjoying my reaction. Are they the reason you're here, the stones? Take them if they are. I don't want them. Maybe this was just about money. I haven't even thought of them since we had the car shipped, he responded with some hurt in his voice. He shook his head and we drank our coffee in silence. He'd provided some overwhelming proof, but all of it was so difficult to accept. It was hard for me to think I would have engaged in a crime. But considering my intruder and the gems, I started to see the possible allure, at least. How did I start? When did I lose my mind, was what I really wanted to ask. Bounce brought you to us when she showed an interest. I think she can give you more detail about your early motivation. Where do I find her? I figured I already knew the answer. She's in London, dying to see you. Ari filled in the rest. He looked away from me to gaze at the dying fire. Why did you think I was dead? He rose from his chair and took a deep breath. That's something I'd rather have Ari tell you. His anger was palpable as he stalked back to the laundry room to collect more wood. Is Ari in London as well? Is he a friend too? Yes, he's in London. He tossed the wood onto the graying logs, causing a burst of sparks. He went back to the chair, his features smoothing into a less severe expression. His opinion of Ari felt like a closed topic for the time being. So why are you in Newport? I took a job with another crew based in New York. And you're really staying in my hotel? The flight crew was. Quite the coincidence, isn't it? When you walked past our taxi, I thought I was dreaming, or so jet-lagged I was seeing things. I called back to London to understand why my dead friend Evelyn was walking through a parking lot. Not running up to you then almost killed me. Why didn't you? Suddenly a vision of him holding me looked like an incredibly desirable thing. I batted down the emotion as best I could to keep my senses. Well, I was also informed that you'd lost your memory, but I couldn't be sure of anything. I wanted to see for myself, so I followed you. You didn't know me at the bar, clearly, so I had to figure out the easiest way to talk to you. Also, you were glued to a man, which complicated things. I couldn't be sure what your relationship was, but after watching you both during the evening, it seemed I may be more his type. Again, I'm sorry to have scared you, but I knew this was going to be hard. I had a better chance with us alone. How'd you get into my house? I didn't have an alarm, but there were locks and deadbolts. Through the upstairs window, nothing too trying. He shrugged his shoulders, assuming there was no need to elaborate further. For the first time, as he relaxed, I noticed he had an accent. I felt more tired as the minutes ticked away. Though my body was exhausted, I couldn't stop my mind from going over the things I'd learned. For years, I'd struggled to put pieces together, and here was somebody to be the glue. However, what I'd learned was unbelievable and brought up many more questions than answers. Finn seemed to have a liking for me and was not coming off as a dangerous criminal. I was probably using poor judgment to trust him, I knew that, but he'd quickly become an important person to me. Maybe he really had been a friend. Are you hungry? I was famished, and regardless of his answer, I went into the kitchen to make turkey sandwiches. He accompanied me and assisted in the prep work. My cordless phone base caught my eye. Listen, I'm not going to call the police, but do you think you can fix my phones? Without commenting, he walked over, lifted the base, and plugged the phone line back into it. Oh, thanks. There wasn't a way to convey how utterly gullible I felt.